Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. This is a psalm about God revealing himself in the skies, throughout, around the world, and in his word. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other end. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray. Father, we know you love to speak because you don't want us to be in the dark. I thank you, Father, that your truth goes out. It goes out every single day. And we so easily, as people who are created by you, we so easily ignore it. Lord, may your word come alive in us. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Thank you, Father, for meeting with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're speaking this morning about the Word of God, and how God does not leave us in the dark. You have some notes. You have questions on the back. These are the notes, in many respects, that you've already received last week. But this message is part two of what we started then. We begin with the words on the inside of your notes. And I'll read first from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the world. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All Scripture is inspired by God. To what does all Scripture refer? How does that translation, breathed out by God, as a substitute for inspired, breathed out by God, help you grasp the real issue? Why is it so important for all of us to know and understand that Scripture is God-breathed? God-breathed. What's the timeline for God speaking, breathing in such a way? How does it happen? I wonder what the Word of God means to you, this Scripture that is God-breathed. I wonder if you can identify these words. And what do you think of them? Listen, we present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. Would you like me to read that again? Can you identify it? We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. Anybody want to guess? What was it? Those are the words spoken to Queen Elizabeth, June 2nd, 1953, at her coronation. Just before that, in Westminster Abbey, she placed her hand on the giant Bible, and she pledged an oath that she would be true, that she would sacrifice as she led. And then, as she had, as the service concluded, she was presented with the authorized version, the King James Bible, and placed in her hands with these words: "We present to you this book, the most valuable thing this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." Is that what your Bible is to you? Is your Bible to you the most valuable thing this world affords? These are profound words. And you know, I thought it was very timely when I heard those words spoken, that after this last year when Queen Elizabeth died, and there was so much testimony of her faith in the Lord and so much Scripture that was read, I see that she took that book seriously. And so she wanted the focus to be on the truth of those words. How important, how valuable is God's word to me, to you, to us? You know, the Apostle Paul was about to, he was coming to the end of his life. In 2 Timothy, if you've turned in your Bibles, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, yeah, hopefully we'll get to that one day, but I want to just call your attention to, you know, this is, sometimes the scripture needs to unfold for us slowly, and we talked last week, there was a question that I asked about God's word simmering in you, as you maybe you meditate on it day and night. In verse 6, Paul writes, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." Time has come for, does that sound almost too civilized to say what he's going through? Well, that's about what it meant. The word departure, simple word, was a word that you could, if you've ever been on a cruise ship and you looked over the side when you were leaving a port, you saw what they did at the departure. The ropes, these long thick ropes, were loosened, first getting some slack in them, and then they were loosened and they made their way back on the ship to be kept for the next port. And Paul uses this kind of a word: I'm about to depart. My departure is here. And it's, you know, I'm just heading to another port. Just heading to another port. But Timothy, listen, this is a serious thing. You need to be equipped, and you need to be reminded, and you need to go back to this book that you need to preach and teach. Because the world all around us will constantly be throwing at us challenges to this truth. That's not really true. But God has always wanted to communicate to people, his people, and to the world around us. He really wants people to know the truth and not be left in the dark. Now, I like the dark. I like to walk in the morning when all I have to worry about is coyotes. But the dark is, I don't like to be in the dark when it comes to not understanding what's going on. And God wants us to understand. He promises us, if you will meditate on my word day and night, if you will, you'll be profitable in everything you do. Profitable like money? Profitable? No. Profitable in the way you handle living, the way you handle the stress of life, the way you handle the losses in life, the way you handle betrayal. And the way you handle joy and share good things, you'll be profitable in everything you do if you meditate on my word day and night. Chapter 3, back to these words that we read last week, beginning with verse 10. He says to Timothy, this young man that's going to have to take he's already been taking the baton and running with it, this baton of leadership. But he says to him, and he knows and he expects that Timothy is going to read this to the congregation there at Ephesus. This is what Paul has left me to do. This is what you need to hear. And he read these words for himself, and he read these words to the church there in Ephesus. that was struggling, and there were people that were going, they were followers of Christ, supposedly, but they were dabbling with all sorts of strange misinformation. And that misinformation was steering their course in the wrong direction. So Paul writes, "You, however, contrary to these other people, you know about all my teaching." You have, probably a better translation of that would be, "You have closely followed all my teaching. You, however, have closely followed all my teaching, my way of life, you've closely followed that, my purpose, you've closely followed, my faith, my patience, love, endurance, persecutions and suffering. You followed all that, the kinds of things that happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions that I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceiving. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, like your mother and your grandmother and me. Continue in what you've learned and you've become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is breathed out by God. The word Paul uses is an original word. It's original, maybe to him. It was not a word that was found elsewhere. It's a combination of words. Theopneustos. Theos. What is that? That's God. God is Theos. Theos, Nuptas, the word to breathe. All Scripture is God-breathed. Old Testament, New Testament. Shows evidence of the fact that these truths didn't come from some hotshot, some very popular writer. They didn't come from some philosopher. They didn't come from some guru, some wise person sitting on a mountain. These words were breathed out by God. The image, the physical image, would be for you and for me, we think thoughts, and we want to communicate. Right now, as I'm speaking, hopefully if I'm doing it right, my diaphragm is pushing, and it's pushing air. It's pushing air through my vocal cords and through this mechanism that God has given me, my lips, my tongue, the cavity in my head, giving it whatever resonance it's coming. It's God breathed, is God speaking. He's speaking and he's communicating to people. His people across 1,600 years in various times in history and amidst different cultures. He's speaking through people like us and not like us. He's speaking through personalities, people who would be more tense than others, people who would struggle with experiencing joy, serious people, and light-hearted people. He's speaking through well-adjusted people and not so well-adjusted. He's breathing his words that he wants to communicate. This scripture didn't come as some sort of a downloading, and these guys sat down to write, and it's like, what's happening with my hand? I can't stop it. No, it's not like that. He's communicating his truth in words, in thoughts. The personality of the person that's writing and the person of God resulting in his truth being refined, his specific will being made known. You know, we had a meeting this morning with our interns, and I think we've made a commitment to have this little gathering at 8:45 on Sunday morning for these young adults. And it's a serious time of reflection, study, from 8:45 to 9:45. And I read this morning to them this psalm that I just read as to start out, Psalm 19. And we talked about, I asked the question, what's the difference between general and special revelation? What kind of revelation is this in the first six verses? It's general revelation. Could be revolutionary to some people. But you go out, everybody around the earth sees the sun rise. Well, where does it rise where your house is situated? Does the sun come up in the east or the west? Just the way your house is seated. That was a question on, I believe it was, the Newlyweds game. And the two of them didn't have the same answer. Won't say who didn't have the right answer, but wow. The sun comes up, the sun comes up in the east and it sets in the west. The sun is sometimes hot and sometimes it's not. Doesn't seem like it's enough for the rest of the. I'm shivering. I'm a little bit warmer than I would be without the sun, but you know, oh man. But the heavens declare the glories of God. There is no speech where their language is not heard. That language is spoken. No matter what culture, no matter what time, no matter what language is spoken, that language is spoken. You should conclude, like Paul says, that which can be known about God, his invisible attributes, can be known in Romans chapter 1. So they're without excuse to know that they're not the big shot. There is a big shot who controls all of this, and you ought to try to find out who he is. You want to gain control, and you will always be frustrated until you know who's really in control. You'll always be afraid and come up with the wrong conclusions until you know who is in control and you surrender to that one who is in control. Six verses, Paul describes this, and a number of verses, that David uses in Psalm 19, and that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1, saying there is no excuse. Specific revelation, verses 7 through 11 of chapter 19, Psalm 19. Specific revelation. God's word is pure. God's law is pure, making wise the simple. That's specific revelation. It is wonderful. And causes the heart to rejoice, regardless of the circumstances, knowing him specifically. 2 Peter chapter 1. I believe the scripture is up there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Peter writes this. He's been speaking in the first epistle and the second epistle of Peter. He's been talking about the scriptures, and he's been talking about how we know we ought to behave in the midst of persecution. But he says this about all scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. He helps us understand another piece of this. But know this first of all, and you can see this on the screen, you can turn in your own Bibles. I believe this is from the New International Version. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of the human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Look at those words again. Know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture, prophecy is the word going forth. It's not simply prophetic words like, this is going to happen on Thursday. This is going to happen in 1,000 years. There's no proclamation from the Word of God. It never came from a matter of some writer's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by the act of human will. You know, I want to communicate this. I hope these people get this today. I hope they understand. Will they really understand? I won't be in their growth group to know if they really understood. I would really like to be understood. So I didn't feel like I was wasting my time. No, that's my will, see. No prophet ever said these things by his own will. No prophet of God surely was, by an act of the human will. But it was men who were moved along by the Holy Spirit. Old Testament scripture and new. Old Testament and new were moved along by the Holy Spirit. God breathed. He breathed. And in cooperation with working through the Holy Spirit, he communicated to Moses. And he communicated to Samuel. And he communicated through Job's words. And he communicated through David and Asaph and Solomon. He breathed. And they didn't come up with this stuff. It was God's stuff. He's breathing. He spoke through the Spirit. I've picked up a book, and I'm started to read this, and hopefully our group of interns, and quite frankly, any young adult that would like to join us at 8:45 on Sunday morning, doesn't mean you've paid your dues by coming at 8:45, but we'd love to have you join us. But we're going to probably study a book called Hearing the Spirit by Christopher Ashe. Hearing the Spirit, knowing the Father through the Son. And one of the things I've been learning, or just being made aware of, is that in the process of this truth of God being made known, it is this relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three, one person, but all three working together to communicate the truth of God. All of this across time. Jeremiah chapter 1. Did you look up these scriptures this last week, your assignment? You look, it's just kind of just follow this along to try to understand what does it mean for to, that this is God breathed. Jeremiah chapter 1. Oh man, is that small. Now I'm going to have to. Would you turn with me in your Bibles, please? I think we needed about four slides on this one. Jeremiah, Old Testament, that is Psalms. Start with Psalms, go to Proverbs, go to Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, Isaiah, and then Jeremiah. Are you there? Did you beat me in the sword drill? Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm just actually going to read from verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down through the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. Oh, yada, 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 yada. It's not yada, yada, yada. He's saying the word of the Lord was coming to Jeremiah for decades. And this was different governments and the geopolitical things that were going on were terribly threatening. Verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, God loves to speak, and he's speaking to Jeremiah. He's breathing out. He's not actually, inspiration is really the wrong word. Inspiration is inspiration. It's the word is, the air is being sucked in. The oxygen's being sucked in. This is more expiration, breathed out. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, so sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone that I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I have appointed you over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of the almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north, I answered. The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up. And say to them whatever I command you. Whoa. But I'm only a young guy. It doesn't sound like me talking. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think I have a voice like that. Don't say you're too young. I've put my words in your mouth. Because I'm really concerned that my people and the world knows who's speaking. What do you see in God's word? Do you understand that he's speaking? Timothy, this is all you have to say. This is the message I have for you to deliver. It's in the book. The book. It was designed for you to communicate. You're not such a good speaker on your own, Timothy. You're not such a good speaker, Pastor John. What you have to say is what I have to say. Pay attention to it. That's what I've been doing all these years, Lord. You know, I've been doing the best job I can. People that are older, younger, why should they listen to me? Because it's his words. His words for your life today and for every generation. This is not going to go out of style. It's not going to be dated. These are the truths for how to navigate life. Always have been. John chapter 14. We're talking about God breathes. And how does he breathe? John chapter 14, verses 25 to 26. John 14, verses 25 to 26. Now, I want to share this with you. Somebody was doing a college program, and this woman in our church came to me and said, you know, I've got to talk about the, how do we know that the Bible was really the Word of God? Are you serious? I mean, I don't even know. These people want to know, how do I know that God exists? And how can you say we know this from the Bible? It's just the words of men. And there are people with all these different religions, and they have their holy books. So what do you do with that? Well, I have to go back to, I'm not philosophical enough to argue on that level, but what I can do is I can, and I pointed this dear saint to this scripture, John 14, 25 to 26. Jesus is going to leave. He said, all of these things I have spoken to you. John 14, 25. I've said all these things. You know, tonight's going to be the most devastating night of your life, probably, and the next 3 days. Going to be pretty devastating. I've spoken to you all these things while I was still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I said. Did you ever stop and think, how did those, you know, they didn't have one of these listening devices, you know, they just said, they just kind of hold it up so that, let's get what Jesus said, and we don't want to miss this. We probably should write this down. I think you'll want this in the book. They didn't have a listening device. They didn't have somebody sitting over the corner. Now, which one got the lucky job of being the secretary of the group? Write this down, right? They didn't have that going on. So how are they going to remember all this stuff? And I remember this lady when she's talking about this, she's saying, how did they remember this? How do we know we got it straight? What language did he speak in? Would you say that again, Lord? I listened to something on tape, or not even on tape, on my cell phone. Go back. Okay, start, stop. Oh, my goodness, write that down. How are they going to remember? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, who I'm going to send. You know, I've said all these things, and I want you to remember them. But the only way you're going to do that is if the Holy Spirit comes. I'm going to send him, the Counselor, the Paraclete. He's going to come alongside of you like I've been with you. And this is not necessarily the best arrangement that we have right now for the rest of your life, for me to stay by you. You guys are going to have to take this word and you're going to have to get it out. So the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and he's going to remind you of everything that I said. I know it would have been a good thing if I would have known that for some of the classes if the Holy Spirit would just kind of remind me of everything that every lecture that I heard. But I wasn't writing scripture, especially in the documents that I was preparing. Now, chapter 16, John chapter 16. This is so personal as Jesus is speaking to his disciples. I have so much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Stop there. I have more to say to you. You can't bear it all right now. Was that because they were under such stress they couldn't bear it? Well, maybe some of it, yeah. Maybe they couldn't bear it because their minds were clouded with all this other stuff that's coming at them. Well, that might have been part of it. But he's really talking about the rest of their lives. The rest of their lives. I have so much more to say to you. And you can't bear it all right now. Let me ask you this. Have you found yourself, those of you who have known the Lord for a while, have you kind of been reading some scripture and all of a sudden it was like, where did that come from? You know what? I used to teach children this. Where did that come? I don't think I ever saw this before. What translation was that I learned? What? And maybe it was a situation like that. And maybe it was something else. That quite frankly, I just didn't get that, Lord. These things that I've been preaching about, I'm learning more about and more about every single year. Can I tell you, this is the honest truth. I'm so thankful that I've had the chance to preach and teach for all these years. 50 years. And every single message is freshly cooked. I don't pull them out of, I've got file drawers full of all of the outlines and messages that I've done, the notes. I never go back and look at them. I only refer to them, did I preach this before? And Craig Lee has it written in his Bible, in the margin, he dates that text. But I just need to go back and look and see. But I'm learning every single week. And I'm saying sometimes to myself, why didn't I learn that before? You know what you guys, from young to the oldest here, you know the honest response of Jesus is, well, John, you weren't ready for that. You weren't ready for that yet. You hadn't come along far enough to really understand that. Every year of your life is full of transitions. It is. I have an image in my mind from the slides that were shown Tuesday for a dear saint, Mrs. Pat Murphy, sitting under a blanket, her frail body. This was her, like, all day long prayer position, with the Word of God open in her lap. And she understood things that I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't yet. I haven't really understood what it means to pray without ceasing. Not like she knew. Jesus said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when the Holy Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears from me. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. Oh. You know, this is, once I said earlier, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together to communicate the truth. And Jesus said, he will not speak on his own. He, the Holy Spirit, will speak only what? Only what he hears. Isn't that beautiful? It's so beautiful. He only speaks what he hears from the Father and from the Son. John chapter 17, verses 6 to 9. I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them. I gave them, Father, the words that you gave me, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Think about this, folks. Father, I gave them the words that you gave me. You breathed these words unto me, your Son, your eternal Son, who's always been with you, and you breathe these words on me, and that's what I've given them. Verses 14 to 21. I gave them your word. I gave them your word, and the world has hated them. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You breathed truth on me, and I passed it on to them. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I set myself apart for you. I dedicated myself to you. Now, Lord, sanctify them. Set them apart to take this truth and to take these words that you've given your prophets, that you've given me, that you've spoken through the Holy Spirit into my life. It is this powerful transfer of truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. In chapter 17, verses 25 and 26. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And truly they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known. I've used these words, Lord, to make you known to them. They've seen me, but far more important, the thing he left behind, listen guys, the thing he left behind was not the Jesus that the disciples walked alongside of. He didn't leave his image. He didn't leave his image. Get a death mask of me, you know, and then make statues of me and my face. He didn't leave an image. He left words. To paint a picture on the hearts and souls of the people around him, God breathed and he communicated his truth in words through the prophets in many portions and in many ways. And in these last days, he delivered the word through his Son, who is the exact in his person, representation of the Father. What will we do with this word? Will it be the most valuable thing this earth affords for us, knowing that we are hearing directly from God? I often say to people, you know, you can know 99.9% of God's will for your life. How could I say that? It's in the book. That's his will. That's his will. It's applied in all sorts of different circumstances, but that's his will. Get to know it. Embrace it. Be sanctified by that truth. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to close in prayer. I'm going to read the words of the song that I actually prayed at the beginning. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, and fill until my heart is pure, until my will is one with thine, to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God. So shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the beauty of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.